This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. On this edition of Ozarks, looking ahead to Election Day, we'll hear some of the candidates seeking Arkansas's 4th Congressional District seat. It's a district that now extends into our region, including Madison County.
And then Roby Brock and Jay Barth, the architects of the Talk Business Hendricks College poll, will discuss what the latest numbers from that poll mean for Republicans and Democrats in Arkansas this November. And a timely story for the spring. The sale of tornado shelters in this region is sky high. Jacqueline Froelich will have that story in just a few minutes.
KUAF is supported by Eureka Springs, the Victorian mountain village, featuring various shops, galleries, tours, clubs, spas, and massage. Outdoor activities include horseback riding, canoeing, hiking, and more. Information regarding activities and attractions, plus a vacation planner, events calendar, and newsletter registration available on the web at eurekasprings.org.
And KUAF is supported by Sherpa and Square Peg Concerts, presenting Straight No Chaser, performing at the Arkansas Best Corporation Center for the Performing Arts in Fort Smith Tuesday, April 10th at 8 p.m. This group of 10 male voices is reinventing the idea of a cappella on the modern pop landscape. Tickets now available on the web at ticketmaster.com. This is the spring fundraiser for KUAF.
It is, and we just mentioned a couple of places that support us, but one of our biggest supporters are our listeners.
Yes, you and listeners just like you. If you appreciate a daily dose of what's happening around you in your region, please understand that the reason that Daily Ozarks at Large exists, so we can tell you about cultural events and news events that are happening in this region. The reason it's here is because of your financial support.
Yes, and this is our spring on-air fundraiser. And if you would like to call now with your pledge of support, please do so by calling 575-5823 or 800-522-5823. That's 800-522-KUAF. You can also pledge online anytime at KUAF.com.
When I was preparing for today's show, I knew I wanted to talk about what's happening with Ozarks at Large and how we cover local news. Mm-hmm. Many public radio stations cover local news in different ways. Mm-hmm. I tried to find a station of our size in a market our size that did a daily program. And there are a few, mm-hmm. but not many.
Right.
And one thing that we want to do at Ozarks at Large and KUAF is make sure that while you do hear the news about the economy and healthcare and things like that, while you do hear about the euro, and while you do hear about relief efforts after the Japanese earthquake, you also hear about events that are right here close to your home. And we do that every day, we hope, on Ozarks at Large.
We hope so.
We try to keep you in tune with the writers and musicians, the educators and politicians and policymakers in this area, and give you time to hear what they say and what might be coming up next, whether you're in Fort Smith, Siloam Springs, Eureka Springs, Fayetteville, or any place in between.
Absolutely. And if you feel that that is important to you and you value what we do here at Ozarks at Large, please call now with your pledge of support so you can keep Ozarks at Large on the air and continuing to do what we do. Give us a call at 575-5823 or 800-522-5823. Again, that's 800-522-KUAF. And you can always pledge at our website, KUAF.com.
And thank you.
Residents across the Mid-South are on edge with tornado season upon us. And following last year's devastating outbreak, some residents and communities are taking extraordinary measures. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich takes us to two kinds of tornado shelters, one private and another public.
Oh, we're in Peerage, Arkansas. We're walking up to our tornado shelter. It's a FEMA building. It was a match grant.
Keith Martin is principal of Pea Ridge Primary School, as well as district safety officer, so was in charge of coordinating the construction of this community safe shelter just south of the high school on campus.
As far as accessibility goes, the school district has priority, of course, during the school days when school's in session, but when on non-school hours, the community it has opportunity to it as well. But I want to stress during the school day, we just make sure that the kids are loaded in and then the public's welcome to come in as well.
The heavy-duty concrete bunker remains locked at all times until a tornado siren sounds, which automatically unlatches it. But this afternoon, Keith Martin uses keys.
Okay.
Wow.
Now,
it's dark.
Oh, give me a second.
Oh. Wow.
Now, there is going to be a huge echo in here.
It's all right, because it's a big tornado shelter, a storm shelter.
Yes, ma'am. It's 5,000 square feet. It's rated for 864 people. It can withstand sustained winds of 250 miles an hour. We're very fortunate that we have its gas generator backup and everything, so it can serve multi-purposes for multiple critical incidents if we needed it to.
The community storm shelter is part of the Arkansas Department of Emergency Management's Safe Room Shelter Program operated by FEMA. This is the only shelter like it in Northwest Arkansas to withstand an EF5 twister.
We've actually had it open 3 times over the past 2 years to already have, you know, when the tornado sirens have gone off. We've had 1 time this year, and then we had 2 times after the Joplin tornado. After the Joplin tornado, I would estimate we had 250, 300 people in here. The one we had at the end of February, we probably had about 40 people utilize the shelter.
What possessions can people bring here to protect their favorite things?
Well, that's one of the issues that we've dealt with is we've grown through it. We require minimal personal possessions to come in. I mean, you can't bring suitcases full of stuff or anything, but we do ask that you bring, you know, minimal items into the building, because as soon as the tornado warning has expired, we're going to close the shelter down.
The school district back in 2009 under former Superintendent Van Dyke and the school board pursued the grant to build this shelter.
Let's see, the total cost of the building was about $1.1 million. I believe the school district's contribution was 6.25%. The state's contribution was 6.25%, and the federal government's was about 88%.
Inside the bunker, it's cool on this balmy spring day. The walls and floors painted gray with a yellow striped walking route connecting 2 exterior doors.
I am considered the manager in charge of the facility. This will allow me, if I have a lot of people in here, that I or EMS services can get from door to door easily in the building, because we will not want people inside the marked hallway or the marked easement way. So it's just for organizational purposes.
And the bunker is designed for various emergency management situations.
A perfect example could be this could be used as a warming shelter if we ever had a significant ice storm come in, because we are a natural gas backup generator and everything. And so we can run lights, heat, and air as long as we have natural gas coming into the building.
Pea Ridge, population 4,794, is located high on a plateau in Benton County, which has seen its share of twisters in recent years. Pea Ridge Mayor Jackie Crabtree.
I know we did have one, we were using one church basement at one time, but that church no longer is using that building, so we no longer have access to that. We are so fortunate that the school district worked on this, got this, and are willing to share with the community. It's fantastic.
The public does not undergo any tornado drills at this bunker, but students do 4 times a year.
Because we have to have so much leeway, knowing that a storm's coming, to evacuate the buildings here. And it takes us around 10 minutes to evacuate the primary school and the middle school together.
Do you feel confident in that? That's going to be plenty of time. Do you feel good that you'll be?
Can we do it in 10 minutes? Oh yes, ma'am. Without a doubt, we can evacuate both buildings and have everyone in here within a 10-minute window.
Mayor Crabtree said during the first tornado drill, when all the students were settled in, he offered them a one-time opportunity to echo the chamber, likely quelling any fears. In a phone conversation, State Emergency Management Public Information Officer Tommy Jackson said the community shelter program is so popular that funding has been obligated through 2012. In addition, more than 66 community safe rooms have been constructed through FEMA's Hazard Mitigation Grant Program, providing shelter to more than 100,000 children, teachers, and local residents. Some are multi-use, libraries, computer rooms, or gyms, for example. A $1 million grant-funded safe room is currently being constructed at a high school in Bologna, where a tornado struck last year, killing 5 people. Most recently, Marion School District received a $1 million grant to build a freestanding shelter like this one in Pea Ridge to accommodate 1,000 people. The Arkansas Mitigation Branch also has a program that provides rebates to residents who've installed storm shelters and safe rooms in their homes. To date, more than $17 million have been dispensed to 17,000 Arkansans, and that fund is also currently tapped out. The program has provided a boost to vendors like Sharon and Jeff Boyette of SureSafe Tornado Shelters, LLC. They are one of 2 local companies to sell and install residential in-ground storm shelters. The Boyettes have a demo at their house in the garage. To get into it, you simply slide open the top.
Just use the handrail, and it just slides back.
Oh, pushes it open.
And then it just goes in there for a handrail.
To hold on to. Uh-huh. So describe the dimensions of this shelter.
This one is a large shelter, and it's 3 foot wide by 4.5 foot deep, and it's 8 foot long.
Can we walk down into
Oh,
it?
Yes. Oh, yes. Okay. Watch the last step, because it's bigger than the other ones.
And the stairs are carpeted.
Yeah.
That prevents...
last step, it's a...
It's deep. Ah, okay. I'll probably sit down. Oh, you're already sitting. It's cool down in here.
And the benches themselves... You can put them on this side, but for us, there's just 4 of us and a dog, so we put the benches together. Mm-hmm. That gives us 1 comfortable bench and a lot more leg room.
What occasions have you used the shelter?
We were actually in it, it seems like December, when we had that last tornado warning in December, we were in it. And then 2 weeks ago, we had the warning. My wife came out, opened it up, got the light turned on and everything, and was going to wake up the kids. But at that point, it passed through and went south of us. And so we've never ridden out, and hopefully never will ride out a tornado in here. But it's very good as far as peace of mind for it.
The battery-operated exhaust fan and light whirs above us. Otherwise, the shelter's empty.
A lot of people will store valuable things and use it kind of as a safe type of thing, valuable papers. But generally, what we recommend is water and a whistle. Even though your cell phones work and everything like that, if you've got a whistle, then it just, you know, gives you something a little bit louder, you know, if everything falls down on top of you.
Several national tornado records were broken last year, including the most twisters in 1 month, 750 in April, and the greatest daily total, 200, on April 27th. According to the National Weather Service, 3,260 tornadoes occurred May 2011, with 178 fatalities, 158 of those in Joplin, Missouri, struck by an EF5 tornado. That's when Shannon and Jeff Boyette decided to install a tornado shelter in their garage.
Mainly because we didn't want to have to go out in the weather when, you know, a bad storm was coming. And so, you know, so we started looking at models that go in the garage. Well, you have safe rooms that sit above ground that are bolted to the thing, but they take up so much room, and we just don't have the kind of room that takes. So that's why it led us to this type of shelter, because it is designed to still be parked over. It takes up no room. During storm season, you just pull your car as far forward as it goes, and you've got to have basically 3 foot between the bumper and the garage door, and then the lid slides back on itself, so you've got the steep stairs that come down into the shelter.
The Boyettes sell and install the brand Smart Shelter, fabricated in Oklahoma City.
It's the number one selling shelter in America. It's 10-gauge steel, and the lids are quarter-inch steel. When we go in, we come in with a concrete saw, and we cut out, you know, a hole that's basically 3 foot by 8 foot on this model. And then we excavate it out, you know, almost five foot deep. Then we set the steel shelter down in the ground, and then we completely surround it with quickcrete. So it's a steel shelter and then completely surrounded with quickcrete.
That stabilizes the shelter, which lies flush and lipped to the concrete pad. Installation takes about 6 hours, including cleanup. It's small enough for any car to straddle, so it takes no space in the garage. The medium model is at $5,000 installed, the larger $500 more, which covers purchase and installation and any necessary permits required by most municipalities. To alert emergency managers, the Boyettes have sold 30 shelters so far. Advertising is primarily word of mouth, and business is good. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
If you'd like to learn more about hazard mitigation, you can visit adem.arkansas.gov. And to learn more about in-home storm shelters, you can go to suresafeshelters.com. That's one word, suresafeshelters.com.
Support for KUAF comes from Theater Squared. Season 6 concludes with The Fall of the House, playing April 12th through May 6th at Walton Arts Center's Nadine Baum Studio. In this mystery spanning two centuries, T2 artistic director Robert Ford explores the desperate bargains we make for love. Tickets and more information for The Fall of the House are available at theater2.org or 443-5600.
Last night, by the way, an artist forum. We had four members of the cast, Bob Ford, the playwright, and Kevin Fox, who is the director. And you'll hear next week some of the highlights of that, including a preview of the play itself. And then later on this edition of Ozarks at Large, another conversation that I had at the public library. This one was Sunday afternoon with Jason Smith of Walton Arts Center, a preview of the Whiffenpoofs performance. That highlights of that conversation later on this edition of Ozarks at Large.
Yes, sir.
We're everywhere, it seems.
We are.
And if you appreciate that about NPR News and Ozarks at Large, the fact that we try to be as many places as we can be and give you as much information as possible, please understand that the reason NPR reporters can do that and the reason the reporters that work on Ozarks at Large can do that is because of you.
Yes, we are in the middle of our spring on-air fundraiser, and we are hoping that you will call with your pledge of support. If you'd like to do so now, you can call at 575-5823 or 800-522-5823. That's 800-522-KUAF. You can also pledge online at KUAF.com.
This is listener-supported public radio. And when you hear us say that phrase, listener-supported public radio, you might wonder, or maybe you don't, what are we really saying? What do those words mean? Well, public radio is shorthand, I think, for radio that is thought-provoking and well-crafted and encourages you to think. Listener-supported means it's, well, it's your money that pays for the programs like Talk of the Nation, Ozarks at Large, and All Things Considered. But not just the programs. You're also paying for the lights, the transmitter, the computers, the electricity, everything it takes to bring you radio into your car radio, your home radio, or your smartphone for that matter. So a very large thank you to the listener in listener-supported public radio. If you haven't yet offered your support and you are a listener of listener-supported public radio, let me remind you that really we're member-supported public radio. Certainly listening is a first step, but those who listen are the people who are most responsible for paying for public radio. If you listen to public radio and rely upon it and count on it, please remember that the amount in your choosing that you contribute to us helps us pay for all the programs as well as the transmitter.
And you can give us a call with your pledge of support right now at 575-5823 or 800-522-5823. That's 800-522-KUAF. And you can also pledge online at KUAF.com.
If you haven't offered your support yet, please contribute right now. You don't have to pay a lot.
Nope.
We're all in this together. Those of us who produce the radio, those of us who pay for the radio. Sometimes it's you're in both camps. Some of us who produce help pay for it as well.
Absolutely.
800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can also pledge online
at KUAF.com.
And thank you.
Arkansas's 4th Congressional District has grown. What used to be exclusively a Southern Arkansas district now extends much further north, reaching into the Ozarks and Madison County. The seat is also up for grabs since incumbent Mike Ross, a Democrat, has announced he is not seeking re-election. This week, Four of the six major party candidates wanting to replace Congressman Ross met in Texarkana to tout their candidacies. Sabrina McCormick, the news director at public radio station KTXK in Texarkana, has this report for Ozarks at Large.
Monday night's forum hosted four of the six candidates running for Arkansas's 4th U.S. Congressional District.
Please, humbly, I would ask that you consider the name of Beth Ann Rankin as one that stood up and faced a giant, and we'll do that again on Capitol Hill.
I believe that leaders don't follow polls. Leaders change polls. My name is Tom Cotton, and I humbly ask for your vote on the May 22nd Republican primary.
I'm glad that we mentioned that it is an open primary, because a lot of people out there, when I introduce myself and I say, hi, I'm John Cower, please vote for me, they think that they're registered Democrats. But anybody can cross the line that during this primary on May 22nd.
I'm a conservative Democrat, a true conservative, and I would appreciate your vote May the 22nd. Thank you very much.
That last voice you heard was the only Democrat present at the forum. His name is D.C. Morrison. The forum was organized by the Miller County Patriots. Not attending the debate were Democrats Q. Byram Hurst and State Senator Gene Jeffries, who organizers of the forum say were invited but had scheduling conflicts. Topics at the two-hour forum range from gun control to government spending cuts. Candidates were asked which government agencies they would slash to help balance the budget. Morrison's solution, with the exception of the Department of Defense, was to cut certain amounts from each government agency across the board.
But my solution would be across the board, cut it by about 10%, every federal agency, and then an additional 2% every year after that, until the American people say, wait, we need that. And when the American people say, wait, we need that, to their elected representatives, then you turn it back on a little bit.
Cotton had a lengthy list of government agencies that could be reduced in size, also excluding the DOD. That list did, however, include reorganizing the Commerce Department.
It does have legitimate constitutional purposes, like the Census Bureau, which would be spun off or put into another bureau. Housing and urban development has been, you know, more or less a failure ever since it was created. It's only generated more poverty in the populations it was trying to help. The Department of Energy under Barack Obama has expanded far beyond what was ever intended, which is basic research and nuclear security, which is a critical responsibility. But getting into a venture capital system where it's trying to fund green energy programs and so forth, the EPA needs to be radically defunded.
Citing worries that in the year 2013, the country may hit the $17 trillion mark on its debt, Cowart would like to see several agencies cut as well.
And there are a number of federal agencies that need to be eliminated, things that has been suggested already. If they were gone tomorrow, nobody's going to go, hey, where's the EPA? You know, we certainly aren't going to be walking around asking ourselves that question. So there are things that need to be cut. But inside agencies that have a legitimate purpose, such as the State Department, we drastically need to cut their budget, primarily so that they can't give our money away, money that we borrow at a high interest rate from China, can't give it away to other countries.
Meanwhile, Rankin argues the federal government needs to learn to live within its means.
The three specific agencies that I would not hurt my feelings to do away with, Department of Energy, I think we could eliminate it, and tomorrow we have more energy in this country. I think the EPA, of course, is choking the life out of the free market system and every entrepreneur in this country. And the Department of Education, I say I made it all the way to the fourth grade without the Department of Education, and I still learned how to read, write, add, subtract, multiply, and divide, and we can do it again today.
Monday night's political forum was held at Texas A&M Texarkana and lasted about 2 hours with an estimated attendance of 50 people. In Texarkana, I'm Sabrina McCormick.
The May primary will decide who the GOP and Democratic nominees are for the 4th District. And then, of course, they square off against each other in the general election in November. The Talk Business Hendricks College poll asked several hundred Arkansas voters last week about some of the other principals that will be involved in the 2012 election process. One result, Governor Mike Beebe continues to have high, very high, considering these political times, approval ratings. This week, Roby Brock from TalkBusiness.net and Jay Barth, political science professor at Hendricks, discuss what those high approval numbers for the governor may mean for the upcoming elections.
Let's talk first, Jay, about the approval ratings of Governor Mike Beebe and the Arkansas legislature. Beebe up 64-21, approve, disapprove. The legislature a much more mixed bag. What do those two numbers kind of tell you?
Well, I think there's no new news here when it comes to Mike Beebe's popularity. He has really stayed very stable throughout his governorship. These are very normal numbers for him. They're not normal for any other politician in America, but they're normal for Mike Beebe. You know, we continue to see deep popularity, of course, among his core constituency, Democrats, but we also see really amazing support among Republicans, a majority of Republicans also approving of Mike Beebe's performance. So no news there at all. The numbers for the legislature show maybe a little marginal improvement from a year ago when we asked the same question. First off, it's important to note that you got about a third of Arkansans who really aren't paying close attention to the legislature at all. Those who are, though, are really split down the middle, and I think this is very interesting. I think historically we would have seen much better numbers for the legislature as a group in Arkansas, but you know, in the last handful of years, the legislature has become more polarized as it's become more closely competitive, and I think we are seeing some of that polarization, maybe not Washington-style polarization as some have come to describe it, but still it is different for Arkansas and I think leads to a lot more of a conflictual picture when it comes to the legislature.
And when we look at the president's numbers, there's not really any new news there either. Barack Obama is still very deeply unpopular in Arkansas. We also pitted him against the current front runner for the GOP presidential nomination, Mitt Romney. He's up about 56% to 33% over Obama. How does that translate down ballot to Arkansas Democrats, particularly those candidates that will have to contend with the top of the ticket, Obama, really not stirring as much enthusiasm?
Yeah, I mean, again, no new news, as you say, when it comes to the president's approval and how he stacks up against Republicans. And Mitt Romney, even though he may have some difficulty winning the Arkansas Republican primary, if it's still competitive by that time, because the Republican Party here is not filled with the constituents that he's done well with in primaries, he's going to have no problem coalescing that support in the fall. I think the question is, does he have any coattails at all as a Republican candidate that would go down the ticket? Or conversely, do these negative numbers on Barack Obama have ramifications down below? You know, I think we can easily see both scenarios playing out. There doesn't seem to be the same energy of negativity that we've seen over the last few years. I think that there may be some sense that, well, okay, he's the president, that's a separate story than state politics. That said, I mean, these are a lot of votes that Democratic candidates have to switch, right? Is that a lot of Arkansans are going to vote for Mitt Romney. They're going to, for Democrats to succeed in the state legislative races, congressional races, they're going to have to get them to switch tickets. Historically, Arkansans have gotten pretty used to switching tickets, but this is a lot of votes that will have to be switched. I think the ramifications are more likely for the congressional races in the 1st and 4th districts. I think that it's easier to connect national candidates to Obama, national Democratic candidates to Obama. I think the state legislative races may be a little insulated from this, but again, even then, we're still going to see a lot of voters have to switch away from their presidential vote down ticket. The one thing I think we still don't know is what turnout's going to be. Is Mitt Romney going to be actually, he's going to win this state. I mean, I think there's no doubt there. We didn't need this poll to tell us, but is he going to be able to turn out voters in large numbers? That's still a question, because I think that neither of these candidates is a real natural fit for Arkansas.
Roby Brock from TalkBusiness.net and Jay Barth from Hendricks College helped create the Talk Business Hendricks College poll they discussed. Later this spring, they'll ask likely Arkansas voters more questions about the issues and candidates involved in the November general election.
Support for TalkBusiness.net on Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from 4 offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com. And Bank of the Ozarks. More information at BankOzarks.com. And Verizon, offering a wide selection of productivity-enhancing tablets for small business, including the Apple iPad. More information at a Verizon communication store near you or online at vzw.com/smallbusiness. And CEG Partners, using empirical data to better understand your customers' experiences and their loyalties. More information at cegpartners.com. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
In a few minutes, Becca Bacon-Martin, the features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers, will make what is for her, her usual visit to the program. And we'll preview Friday night's concert of the Yale Whiffenpoofs with Jason Smith from Walton Arts Center, part of our countdown conversation series that Walton Arts Center, Fayetteville Public Library, and KUAF do together before the 10 by 10 series concerts.
Yes.
It's one thing we are able to do at Ozarks at Large, and that is establish partnerships.
Yes, with lots of different organizations in the community.
We have partnerships, some formal, some informal,
right,
but with the Slow Food community mm-hmm. in Northwest Arkansas, with Walton Arts Center. We've done some things with Rogers Little Theater.
Right.
Fayetteville Public Library.
You heard from Roby, and we partner
Talk
with
business,
him.
Talk Business, the other public radio stations in the state.
Absolutely. Michael Tilley from the City Wire.
Right. And the reason we do partnerships, I think, I don't want to speak for all the other entities I just mentioned, but the reason we do it mm-hmm. is because a rising tide lifts all boats. If we can help tell you about other things that are going on in the area, you're more informed, and they can bring their expertise in, and we can bring ours, and we think it makes for a better program and a more informed listener.
Yes, and part of producing a good show is knowing that you sometimes need to ask for help.
Right. Huh.
Huh.
This is the spring fundraiser.
This is the spring fundraiser.
How can someone listening help out Ozarks at Large and public radio?
If they want to help, we can ask them if they would like to make their pledge of support to the radio station. They can give us a call at 575-5823 or 800-522-5823. That's 800-522-KUAF.
And here's the great part of this. Mm-hmm. When you're becoming a partner of KUAF and when you're helping us, you're also helping yourself because mm-hmm. you're helping to do your part to ensure that the radio programs you listen to and rely upon stay on the air.
Absolutely.
Because the biggest chunk of the money that we get mm-hmm. that to use to pay for programs like Ozarks at Large or Performance Today or What Do You Know or Wait, Don't Tell Me comes from the people who listen to KUAF.
Yes, it does.
And you can take a couple of minutes and call in right now, 800-522-5823.
Or 575-5823.
You can also pledge online at KUAF.com.
Wednesday, April 4th, 2012, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
And joining us now is Becca Bacon-Martin, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Leave now.
Oh, boy. What do we got to go do?
Go to Celtic Woman.
Oh, in where?
Kansas City tonight.
Oh, okay.
Tomorrow night in Little Rock.
Mm-hmm.
April 6th and 7th in Memphis, April 11th in St. Louis, or April 14th in Dallas.
Celtic Woman, not that long ago in
Fort Smith.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could pull a Kevin Kinder trick, our music writer, and just leave now and go to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to do the whole tour?
Well,
no, he did. Radiohead.
Who was it? Radiohead.
Kansas City and St. Louis, I think.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But you could go do the whole Celtic Woman tour. People who love them love
them. Yes, they
them.
Do. Yes, they do.
Very Ticket loyal. Prices vary. You can visit CelticWoman.com to find out more. Other things around the area. Carlos Mencia is at the Tulsa Convention Center on Friday.
He was recently here.
He was. It was a good show.
Bella Fleck and the Flecktones.
The original lineup.
April 11th at Kane's Ballroom and also coming
They're
here.
They're coming to Walton Arts Center.
Yes.
Leon Russell is at the Brady Theater in Tulsa on April 14th.
Oh, to see Leon Russell in Tulsa. That'd be a lot of fun.
Riders in the Sky are at Kane's Ballroom in Tulsa on April 14th. And Eddie Vedder is at the Brady Theater in Tulsa on April 19th.
Really? How about that?
So you can check out all these things. We have something in What's Up called Events Away. Check it out on Friday and hit the road.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
The Yell, Whiff, and Poofs are coming to Bentonville. The more than a century-old a cappella ensemble features seniors at Yale who have a songbook with music from almost every decade of the past 100 years. The concert is part of the Walton Arts Center's 10x10 series, meaning most tickets cost $10. As is the custom with most of the 10x10 events, Kyle Kellums moderated a countdown conversation about the concert in advance of the performance. It took place Sunday afternoon at the Fayetteville Public Library. Kyle was joined by Jason Smith from Walton Arts Center, a student and practitioner of a cappella music.
It's extremely high-quality singing, and it is just incredibly entertaining. They really have a great sense of fun and play on stage, but in a really intellectual, yet you know, they play with each other. So I think it's a playful spirit, and there's almost a game going on stage with them.
Whiff and Poofs, now more than a 100-year-old tradition at Yale. And how did they get started? Where did they get started?
They got started in a bar in New Haven, Connecticut. They were originally, it was, I guess it was an evening of not so great weather, and a quartet that was together currently got together, and they had two friends. They went to Mari's, I believe is the name of the bar, and while they were drinking, they decided to form a new group, one that was probably a little more fun, a little less traditional choral, and the Whiff and Poofs were formed. I mean, I think that kind of speaks to the tradition of the Whiff and Poofs. It started in a bar, and they do that to this day.
They still go to the bar?
They still go to the bar. And I believe it's one of the requirements of being a Whiff and Poof. You have to go with the group to Mari's regularly in order to be considered a member. You know, once you're in the group, you have to partake.
You must be a senior. It's only open to seniors at Yale.
That's true. It's only open to seniors. And every year there's a new batch.
The repertoire of the Whiff and Poofs that we might see at Aaron Arts Center, that's a connection, right? I mean, this is an organization that started in 1909, and you're going to hear some direct connections to those earliest ensembles.
Oh, yeah. The Whiff and Poofs are, you know, They're not unique, but they are unique. They're unique in that they're such a high quality level. They are the quintessential college a cappella ensemble. And they represent that academic quality that only being students of a major university can bring to a performance. You know, they add poetry and literature and I guess modern pop sensibilities, you know, with music, and they pull it all together, shake it up, and throw it out there in the forms of performance. But the thing about the Whiff and Poofs, which makes them more like stylistically themselves versus other groups, is that as they've made these arrangements, they've kept them. And every group after will go through this huge archive of music and pick out the things that they want to learn and sing. And there's some that are done every year, every group does, and there are some that, you know, we're going to put this one away, we're not going to do this, we're going to choose to represent the Whiffs with these pieces. And like, for example, the Whiff and Poof song is one that is sung at every concert. They finish the concert with that song at every performance. And so you will hear songs from the 20s or the 30s or the 40s or the 60s or the 90s. You never know what you're going to get, but you know that it will have a historical context.
You're in a quartet. You've sung with larger ensembles. When you get more people on stage, more voices than four or five, what can you do that maybe some of us who are not as familiar with a cappella music don't realize is happening?
Well, the nice thing about being more than just a small ensemble, like more than a quartet, is that your arrangements can be a little bit more complicated. Something you will hear in the concert is you will hear multiple parts. You'll hear, you know, like a quartet in style singing maybe the melody of the song, but you'll hear trumpets in the background with other voices, you know, in trio. So that could be seven different parts pulled together, you know, you'd have to have seven singers. Well, if you have 14 singers, which is what they have, I think they're bringing 10, you can have more parts, more layering, more interesting fabric of sound that you just can't get when you just have three or a trio or four voices. The other thing that can happen, something that we think about all the time in the quartet, is where are we going to breathe? And if the phrase is long and beautiful, you don't want to break the phrase. Well, the more people you have, which when you have 14, that's a size where the style is controllable and everybody can learn it and you can be fun and playful and not get too out of control. But you can also sneak your breaths because someone else can, you can make an arrangement so that this person is holding the note while you're taking your breath, and then you'll come back in and they'll take their breath, so the note is never missing.
And so that's choreographed. That's designated.
Oh yeah, it's very designated. You know, I can't speak to them doing this exactly, but I'm sure every group does it. Every group finds when you're going to take your breath, and how that's choreographed. You know, and some, you know, it's interesting too because I know that the Whiff and Poofs do some onstage choreography with their music.
Movement.
Yeah, some movement. They're not as crazy as getting up and doing, you know, Running Man while they're singing. But, you know, that's something that's, you know, typical of collegiate. I would call this collegiate contemporary style. Maybe not the new style of contemporary, but contemporary performance, meaning they get up and they sing things that everyone recognizes and were popular in the period that they originally started to sing them. And so those can be a little bit, you know, what I call jazz handsy. You know, they add the embellishment. Mm-hmm. And the Whiff and Poofs, when they do it extremely well. It's done with great humor. And it's never overdone.
Paul Haas, the conductor, the music director of Sona, was a Whiff and Poof. Is that correct?
He was a Whiff and Poof. Yes, he was. In 1993, I believe he was a Whiff and Poof. That was his senior year. He actually was a Whiff and Poof, and he toured Arkansas as a Whiff and Poof.
Really?
Yes. He sang in Little Rock, and he has a really good story. And I'm not going to ruin the story. So go up to Paul if you want a good story and ask him about his tour of Arkansas when he was a Whiff and Poof.
Jason Smith talked with me at the Fayetteville Public Library Sunday afternoon. The Yale Whiff and Poofs will perform Friday night at Arend Arts Center in Bentonville. For more information about the concert, you can go online to waltonartcenter.org.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 4th of April, 2012. It was on this date, 1841, President William Henry Harrison died. He was 68. He'd been president for 1 month. His inaugural address was nearly 2 hours long. It was delivered outdoors of the Capitol, a cold spring day. Mr. Harrison, wearing neither hat nor overcoat, he wanted to show how robust he was. He came down with pneumonia and pleurisy. Doctors treated him with opium, castor oil, bloodletting, and leeches, and he died. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated on this date in 1968 in Memphis, where he was supporting striking sanitation workers. He was memorialized last year with a monument on the National Mall in Washington, a figure partially carved out of a block of stone with quotes on either side, which some people criticized as misquotes. One quote on the statue says, "I was a drum major for justice, peace, and righteousness." And what Dr. King actually said was, "Yes, if you want to say that I was a drum major, say that I was a drum major for justice, say that I was a drum major for peace, I was a drum major for righteousness, and all of the other shallow things will not matter." The Department of Interior announced in January that the National Park Service will find a more appropriate quote for the memorial. It's the birthday of Maya Angelou, born Marguerite Johnson in St. Louis, 1928. She was a dancer, actor, lived in the early 60s in Ghana. She was part of an African-American expat community there, got involved in the civil rights movement, wrote about it in her six-volume autobiography, starting in 1970 with I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. And it's the birthday of Marguerite Duras, born in a small village in French Indochina, near what is now Saigon, 1914. Her parents had left France to teach in Indochina. Her dad died. She grew up in poverty. When she was a teenager, she became lovers with a wealthy older Chinese man whom she met on a ferry between Sa Dec and Saigon, and she would write about him for the rest of her life in autobiographical works like The Lover, which was an international bestseller in 1984. Marguerite Duras, who said, "You have to be very fond of men, very, very fond. You have to be very fond of them to love them. Otherwise, they're simply unbearable." Here's a poem for today by Kristen Lindquist entitled Transportation. Everyone in O'Hare is happy today. Sun shines benevolently onto glorious packaged snack foods and racks of Bowles T-shirts. My plane was 20 minutes early. Even before I descend into the trippy light show of the walkway between terminals, I am ecstatic. I can't stop smiling. On my flight, we saw Niagara Falls and Middle America green and gold below. Passengers thanked the pilot for his smooth landing with such gratitude that I, too, thanked him with sudden and wholehearted sincerity. A group of school children passes on the escalator, and I want to ask where they're going. Tell me your story, I want to say. This is life in motion. A young couple embraces tearfully at a gate. She's leaving, he's not. How can I bring this new self back to you, intact? He yells to her departing back, "Hey, I like the way you move." Any kind of love seems possible. We walk through this light together. So what if it's an airport? So what if it won't last? Transportation, a poem by Kristen Lindquist from her collection entitled Transportation, published by McGuntacook Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, celebrating 100 years of discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. Edited by Noah Smith. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
And this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
This is the spring fundraiser for KUAF. This is a time when we remind you just how important listeners are to KUAF.
Very important.
First of all, radio wouldn't be necessary if there weren't listeners.
Right.
The physical act of listening is the first step to the engagement between radio and radio listener.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing with public radio. We wouldn't be able to exist, even if everyone was listening, but no one paid for public radio.
Yes.
Most of the revenue that KUAF gets to pay for programming, whether it's local, like Of Note with Katie Hendrickson, or Shades of Jazz with Robert Ginsburg, or The Pick and Post with Mike Shirky, or Ozarks at Large.
Of course, Ozarks at Large. Don't forget.
Right. Or the national programs, like Morning Edition, Talk of the Nation, All Things Considered, and Thistle and Shamrock. Most of the money for all of that programming comes from the people who use and listen to KUAF, our listeners.
Yes. So it's at this time each year that we come to you, our listeners, and ask you and remind you that how important it is to make your pledge of support. And if you would like to do so right now, you can give us a call at 575-5823 or 800-522-5823. That's 800-522-KUAF.
We're going to take a small little poll here.
Okay.
I want you, Antoinette, to participate, and I want you listening to participate as well.
Okay.
Is there a radio in your car?
There is, now that I fixed it.
Okay, very good. This car radio, does it have presets, either buttons or knobs or something? I know the newer on your steering wheel, but does it have presets to where you can go to favorite radio stations?
Yes, it does.
All right. One of those presets, uh-huh. Is it set to KUAF?
It is.
Okay. If you said yes as well, here's the deal. That means if you have applied KUAF as a regular option, perhaps it's button number one, that means you are a regular listener to KUAF. That means you subconsciously hit the button and want to hear the news or the music or the entertainment from KUAF, that you pick that as one of your listening priorities. Now, that means KUAF is important to you. When you hit that button, you expect us to be there. In return for that reliability, we're asking for something from you, and that's your financial contribution to KUAF. Without your money, no guarantee, the public radio and Ozarks at Large and NPR News will be here for you every time you go to that button. I don't want you to risk hearing static on the preset that your subconscious knows to go to. How do you help us out? In a contribution of your choosing.
Yes. Give us a call at 575-5823 or 800-522-5823. That's 800-522-KUAF. You can also pledge online at KUAF.com. And there's a lot of ways that you can give us money.
That's right. And you can, if it's better for you to break it up into installments, you can do that on a monthly plan through bank draft.
Right.
Your credit card.
Or if you're at the University of Arkansas, you can do payroll deduct.
That's correct.
Yes.
And the numbers again, 800-522-5823, 575-5823. You can pledge online. If you listen online, pledge online, KUAF.com.
KUAF is supported by Ozark Natural Foods, offering bulk organic chicken and livestock feed every Wednesday and Saturday from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. Located in the Evelyn Hills Shopping Center, Ozark Natural Foods is Northwest Arkansas's consumer-owned food co-op since 1971. More information is available at ozarknaturalfoods.com. Support for KUAF is also provided by Walton Arts Center, presenting Bella Fleck and the Flecktones, the original lineup, on Thursday, April 12th. This concert will showcase the band's blend of music from jazz and bluegrass to classical music and African rhythms, electric blues, and Eastern European folk dances. Tickets and more information available at waltonartcenter.org or 443-5600.
Tomorrow on this program, Ithi Agnihotri Madolkar will join me.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be a brand new edition of Ozarks at Large.
Yes, and the Whiff and Poofs thing was good last night?
Yes,
no, not Whiff and Poofs. I'm sorry. You did the
Theater Squared.
Theater Squared. I'm so...
Form. Well, you know...
I'm all over the place.
My second grade teacher once, true story, second grade teacher once looked at me and said, because I got in trouble a lot for talking in class, and she said, I hope
surely
you can
not.
Find... Yeah. She said, I hope you can find a job where you get paid to talk.
Done.
Yeah.
Well done.
That may have been right there where...
That may have been.
Fate was cast.
There you go. Wow.
Anyway, last night, talked to Bob Ford, and director and four members of the cast of Fall of the House, mm-hmm. which will close out the current Theater Squared season. It's Bob Ford's original script. It was nominated for an Edgar. And I've never read the play nor mm-hmm. seen it. This mm-hmm. will be the first full staging.
Right.
It's been at the Alabama Shakespeare Festival. I'm still not quite sure what's going on because it takes place in two different centuries.
Well, you've only seen a preview, too, because they had like a short preview last night, right?
And so it looks incredibly intriguing. It will open up. First open night is Friday, April 13th.
Awesome.
At Nadine Baum Studios. And you'll hear excerpts from that, including the preview, sometime next week on Ozarks at Large.
Yes.
And you went to the circus?
I went to the circus. Circus Oz was at Walton Arts Center. It was fantastic. I don't care. I'm much older than five, but I still love the circus.
High wire stuff? Trapeze stuff?
Trapeze, lots of acrobatics. Those are my favorite. It's just animal free, and I'm all about it.
All right. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Have a great Wednesday.
And this is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Harmony.